Good morning, everybody. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you sure? Should Jesus return today, which is very possible, would you be saved? Are you sure? You know, we want to be so sure of lesser matters, why not the greatest matter of all? It was just as recent as last night, talking to some of my children about a financial matter that was less than $100. I was wanting to know for sure if it's $40 coming out of my pocket, how this is all going to work out. $40, I want to make sure of some things. Why not be as sure as you can be of your eternal reward in heaven? The Apostle Paul said he knew at his departure, at his death, he knew that there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him. And he goes on to say, and everyone else who loves his appearing. So it wasn't just him. You can't just say, well, he was the Apostle Paul. Of course he would know. But little old me, how would I have a clue whether I'm going to heaven or not? No, but he says, so that reward is for all who love his appearing. You can be just as sure, knowing, confident as he was. The Apostle Peter said in one of his epistles that we ought to look forward, and I'm paraphrasing just slightly, look forward to and hasten the coming day of the Lord. Now let me just be plain. That's the last day you want to look forward to and hasten if you're not ready. I don't look forward to things I'm not so sure about me being prepared for. But the Peter epistle indicates you're to do just that. You're to hasten the coming day of the Lord. You're to look forward to it. You better be sure of some things if you obey that word, looking forward and hastening that day. Speaking of Peter, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The lesson this morning is entitled, Assurances of My Salvation. And I appreciate Bill's leading that last song. Wasn't that lovely? Blessed Assurance. You know, we sing Blessed Assurance. Are we blessedly assured? Do we have more than just a song in our lips, on our hearts? Are we possessing blessed assurance? That's the lesson this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Make it a sure thing. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You never will. For so an entrance will be supplied to you barely by the skin of your teeth. Nope. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. You will be ushered in to be with the Lord Jesus. You can make your calling and your election. God has called you by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have been chosen to inherit eternal life. Now be diligent to make it a sure thing. If you do this, if you do that, I guarantee you, you'll never stumble, and so an abundant entrance will be granted to you into the eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. Christians of all people should be the most confident people in the entire world. Filled with it. Filled with blessed assurance as they draw nearer their eternal reward. But it is sadly not the case sometimes. Missing, if you will, altogether. Take a survey. No, don't. But take a survey hypothetically and just see how many Christians are expressing great confidence of their eternal reward. There is such a thing as well-grounded assurance. Well-grounded assurance of salvation, but there's also such thing as a ill-founded presumption of salvation. I'll just give you one. It's based on error. It's based on falsehood. It's based on man's very vivid imagination. It's based on him wanting to lay his head on the pillow at night and sleep nicely, even if it's not so what he's basing that on. Whatever is prompting such a belief as this, this is not the truth of God's word producing assurance. This is man's imagination, if you will. It is error, and it goes like this. Once you're saved, you're always saved. No, now that's not the truth on the matter. The Lord hasn't made it a no money back guaranteed lock. But He has indicated that you can have blessed assurance, not blessed insurance. Blessed assurance. You can be as confident, as assured as possible can be. And it can be based on something you can know. It's not just a, I sure hope so, but I haven't really got a clue what. No, you can know these things are true. That way you can say with Paul, I know there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. How can you say you know that? Just like I know there's a God. Just like I know Jesus Christ is His Son. Just like I know that He died for me. Just like I know my sins are forgiven by faith in God's Word. The book of 1 John is where we're headed. Next book after Peter, where you are, if you're in 2 Peter, you do not have to go far. 1 John, next book up, chapter 5. We want to base our study this morning just on the little book of 1 John. There are other books of Scripture that give us assurances of salvation. I'm telling you that right now. But I'm limiting it for the sake of time and just also space. I don't want to overdo it. I'm just going to limit it to 1 John. The things said here by which you can have assurances of salvation. But let's start at the end, chapter 5, and look at verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony. This is the testimony. Well, what is it? That God has given us eternal life. Not He will, but He's given it to us. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And who has the Son has life. And the context is eternal. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God doesn't have it. These things I've written to you in this little book called 1 John. I've written to you who believe. I've written to you Christians who've already said, yes, I know that eternal life is in Jesus. I've written to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might continue to know you have it. This witness, he says, is for those, this testimony is for those who have the Son. Do you have the Son? Galatians 3, and I'm not turning, I'm just referencing it. Galatians 3 says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have the Son. They have put on Christ. And so you can't go past there because He doesn't go past there either. He's saying before He gets into how you can know you have eternal life, He says, I'm saying these things to those who believe, but He backs up a little bit and says, you first of all have to have the Son though. Those who have the Son can know certain things for certain. And I've written so that you can be sure of what you know. But you first have to have the Son. I'll come back to that at the end of the lesson, but I didn't want to pass it up even here at the beginning. Those who have the Son are beginning in their having assurances of eternal life. It is only with the Son that you have that blessed hope, that blessed assurance. All right, what are some of the things that John wrote about? I've got about four or five, and if you're a note taker, here's number one. What are some of the things? He says, I've written these things so that you can know you have eternal life and that you have the Son and so forth. Okay, well, what'd you write? Well, I'm going to just single it out to four or five things. There's a lot more, but this will have to suffice. Number one, let's go back to chapter 1 and verses. These will all be in 1 John, if I don't say differently. 1 John chapter 1. First thing up for consideration is verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's speaking about Jesus. The life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, just spoken about, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you so that you can have fellowship with that eternal life in Jesus. We have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we've heard. How would you start it off, John? Well, here it is. We declare it to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse you from your sins, too. I'll come back to that a little bit later. Number one, what is the thing I can know? What are the things Paul or John wrote so that we can be sure that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ? The first one is by walking in the light. By walking in the light, I can know I am in fellowship with God and thus have eternal life. Light and darkness are typical in the Bible of moral uprightness and truth. That's the light. And perverseness and ignorance. Darkness. And when we're said to need to walk in the light, it doesn't mean that you just, you know, you somehow just have an understanding about all of these things, but it's your manner of life. To walk in the light is to have a manner of life that is typical of living in righteousness and truthfulness. It does not mean flawlessness, by the way, in case you were wondering. Because why not? Well, the last thing I said was, if you walk in the light, He says what? The blood of Jesus washes your sins away. So it can't be that. When He says walk in the light, He doesn't mean you have to have a flawless life. Can't be that. Otherwise, why do you need the blood to wash your sins away? But it is one of making typical your manner of life. And that is, you habitually prefer pure things over impure things. You habitually make it a desire to be clean rather than dirty. You love doing the right thing. Now, you have to do some soul searching here and ask yourself, is that true with me? Don't fool yourself now. Be honest with yourself. You can know this. You can know this. This is not something like, no one can know that. Oh, yes, you can. You can know whether your manner of life is typically walking in moral uprightness and in the truthfulness of God's Word. You can know that. Once again, for the second time and maybe the last time, I'm not saying you make no errors, that there's flawlessness in your life. That's not what He's talking about. Blood won't be needed for cleansing if that's true. But you can know whether your typical walk of life, is it with God, in the truth of God's Word, and in righteousness, or is it otherwise? If it is, if you say, oh, it is, no brag, it's just fact that I make my manner of life walking in the light of God's Word, then you can know you have fellowship with Him and His Son, and they have eternal life. How can I be sure of having eternal life? This is one evidence you can know you're going to heaven. Is it true of you that you walk in the light? Let's keep reading. Item number 2, verse 8. If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. Who's fooling who here? Nobody except you. And the truth is not in you, in us. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we keep on saying, though, things like, well, we've not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And His Word is not in us. How else can I know that I have eternal life? How else can I know I have fellowship with the Son and with the Father? How else can I be sure of going to heaven when I die? By being aware and by admitting your sin. Yes, sir. Awareness and admission of sin is another evidence of the truth of God being in you. The more time spent with communing, the more time spent communing with God, the more glaring your sin's going to be. I need to say that again, for my sake as much as yours. The more time that you spend communing with God, the more glaring your sin is going to become to you, to me. When Peter came really close in contact with the divinity of Jesus, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When Isaiah came in contact with the majesty of God and saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up and the train of His robe filling the temple, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." I'm no Peter. I'm no Isaiah. But I would love to be in their company. The closer you get to God, the more you will be constantly aware, and admission will be made easily. I say easily, it just comes with the contact. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Woe is me." How about you? Is that the way you feel about your sin? Be honest now. Is this the way you think about your sin? Is this the way you talk about your sin? Then you're on the right track. The truth of God is in you. You can go down to your house justified each day because, like the publican, you're continually saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Item number 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, he doesn't know Him. He's a liar. Truth's not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. And you remember, you've got to be in Him to have eternal life. So this is the way we know we have eternal life, is that we keep His word. And verse 6 says, he who says he abides in Him, that I make that claim. Well, you've got to be walking just like He walked. He must walk as Christ walked. True blessed assurance knows that salvation is by grace through faith. We know that. But that faith has to be revealed in specific acts of obedience. In truth, the obedience of God's will. Obedience grows in the faithful, but excuses grow in those that are presumptuous. Do you want to make certain that your call and your election as a Christian are as sure a thing as you can possibly make it to be? Then apply yourself. Apply yourself to diligently obey the commandments of the Lord. I don't know whether I'm doing that or not. Yes, you can know that. That's like telling my children they can't know whether they're obeying their dad or not. They can know. And you can know. Now don't go down the path of saying perfectly, flawlessly so. We already dealt with that earlier. But you can know whether you're obeying or not. Do you want to be confident of your heavenly home hereafter? Then walk as Jesus walked, verse 6. Become more and more like... Took it off the board. Becoming more like Jesus. We're doing that on Sunday nights sometimes. Not tonight, though. See, it's missing. I had some song numbers up there. We're doing a series called Becoming More Like Jesus. Yeah. Verse 6 says, I abide in Jesus. I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. Well, then you better walk just like He walked in. Your manner of life should be like Jesus. Don't call yourself Christian in vain. Call it for real. What it is. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ person. And act like it. You can know whether you're doing that or not. So in case you're note-taking for number 3, I think it is, write this down. Obedience is assurance number 3. And now number 4. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. My Bible has an exclamation mark in it. I know those are not necessarily in Greek, but I like it. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Why is that? Because we will see Him as He is currently, presently, and everyone who has this hope in Him will purify himself just as He's pure. I paraphrase slightly, but you see the point? Hey, number 3. Number 4. How can I have blessed assurance? John says, by genuinely longing to see the Lord. Genuinely longing to see the Lord produces real, lively, confident expectation of reward. That's a mouthful, so I got to repeat it. Genuine longing to see the Lord produces real, lively, confident expectation of reward. The Bible just puts it in 4 letters, hope. You're saved in this hope. We are now the children of God, verse number 2. We are now the children of God. And as such, we hope to see Jesus as He presently is. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you love talking Bible? Do you love discussing biblical topics and issues? There's nothing wrong with this. But it is possible for us to imagine, it is possible for us to imagine that we love the Lord when we're actually in love with ideas and doctrines. You ever seen a boy or a girl who's in love with being in love more they're in love than they're in love with the person that they're supposed to be in love with? Those who laugh, I'm taking names. No, you know what I'm saying? Can you be in love with the idea of being in love? You can. It would be better basing your marriage on I'm in love with the person, not in love with the idea of being in love with somebody. Can you be in love with the things that are associated with Christ more than Christ Himself? Yes, It's possible. We have got to long to see His face. Let me put it in a question form. Do you ache to see Jesus? Do you want so much to hear His voice? To touch His hand? Do you long for the day when you will be perfected, never having another sinful thought or action? Be honest with yourself now. If that's true, if you say, yes, that's true, then you're going to be striving in the present to become what you're destined to be in eternity. Verse number 3 says, that's being pure as He is pure. If this is the hope that you have, then that's an assurance that ultimately will save you. Blessed assurance number 4 is genuinely longing to see the Lord. And finally, number 5, chapter 3:14. We know that we passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not do this, he's going to hell. Verse 15. No, skipping. I'll come back to 15. Go to chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. That's an invisible thing. But I know one thing, you do see your brother. If we love one another, you can see invisibly God in you. And His love has been perfected in us. 20 and 21, same chapter 4. If someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For who? He who does not love his brother, whom he's seen, you've seen your brother. You haven't even seen God. How can you love God? You haven't even seen Him. And this commandment we have from Him, it's not a suggestion, it's an order. If you say, I love God, you must love your brother also. It's not an option for those so inclined. It's a have to. It's a have to. Now, brethren, love for fellow Christians is a sign that we're on the right path, and you can know whether you do or don't. Whether you do or not. This is a proof, John says, that you can know that you have life. Do you love the brethren? He doesn't expect them to say, you know, I don't know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. They know whether they do or not. Do you love the brethren or not? This is proof. John seems to be the most adamant about in the whole book of 1 John. Do you love the brethren? Well, I don't hate them. But in John's way of looking at it, maybe you do. Go back to 15, which I began to read a moment ago, but I saved it for now. Go back and look at 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer is going to heaven. Has no eternal life abiding in him. If I understand the reading here, verse 15 equates hatred with not loving your brother. 14, he calls it, if you don't love your brother, you hate him, and you know what that amounts to, murder, hellbound. To not love them is to hate them. I know there are a lot of gray things in life. This is not one of them, it would seem. There's a lot of things not black or white. They're gray in between. This is not one of them. It's either you love them or you don't. And you know that you have to have this to have eternal life, don't you? You do. But just what kind of love are we talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. I love it when you ask me questions like that. Look at verse 16, chapter 3. By this we know love. See, you asked, hey, what kind of love are we talking about here? Well, John says, I can help you there. By this we know the kind of love we're talking about. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Rhetorically, the answer is, it doesn't. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And look at 19, and by this we know. You can bet, you can be sure that we are of the truth. Hey, there's our word. That we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. There it is. By this you can assure your hearts before God when you get there in the judgment. So what is it, Whit? What's the quality of love we're talking about here? It's not sentimental, I know that much. It's not talk only. I know that much. But according to these verses, it's two things. It's active and it's sacrificial. Do you love the brethren actively and sacrificially? If we do this, we can assure ourselves before God in judgment. Now this, my friends, is true assurance of salvation. I'll repeat, walking in the light, daily admitting sin, obeying the commandments, longing to see the Lord, and loving Christians. This kind of soul-searching evaluation will reveal shortcomings. Verse 7 of chapter 1 says, "But when you do these things, the blood of Jesus will cleanse away those shortcomings, unrighteousness in you." But interestingly, the more you are troubled over your lack of holiness, the greater your assurance will be. How ironic is that? This is because the one who finds himself regularly in need of the blood of Jesus is the one who's daily pursuing Jesus. You see? "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5:13, where we started. Do you believe in the name of the Son of God? Are you trusting in Him alone to save you from your sins? Have you been joined to Him in baptism? Are you striving to show your love for Him by obedience of your faith? If not, then please do, beginning today. But now, if you already are, if you say, I'm doing that, then stop doubting and rejoice that your sins are forgiven and that your name is written in the book of life and that there's a place reserved in heaven for you. May God bless the preaching of His Word. Open to 637, and Bill will lead us in that song in just a moment. In fact, it'll be a short moment after what I've just said. Don't need to be redundant here. We're speaking much more than what's just been said. I think what's been said by way of the conclusion will, I trust, prompt you to act today if that is your need. Let's do it. Let's stand and sing. Song number 637.